Blog I'll tell you, Vito's coming on next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, his guy called me. His guy, or not called me, but emailed me or whatever. He said, can you come on? I said, do you want to come on tonight or next week? You let me know. And he said, next week. I said, perfect. We'll
book him. It's good that he rats up.
Yeah, that was a tough fight, man. All right, you ready?
Ready.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you. And as always, if you want to call in, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857, and we'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. And tonight, we're going to talk about the train wreck of the week. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, it has been a slow news week, as this whole thing goes. Speed, somebody always comes through. When it comes to the train wreck of the week, Beeb, somebody always comes through. There are two people that come through. It's either going to be Adrian Broner, he's my man, or Floyd Mayweather.
Yep.
One of those two guys. And you know what? This week, they didn't disappoint. We'll get to you. We'll get to more of that later on. But first, let's get started with some real fights here. On Fox pay-per-view, Errol Spence Jr. versus Danny Garcia. Errol Spence Jr. wins a unanimous decision over Danny Garcia by the scores of 117-111 and 116-112 twice. Tell you what, man, I had it 118-110.
Yeah.
I gave him about two rounds. I think I gave him 10-11 maybe. 116-112, that was 8-4. That was a lot closer than I would. I mean, I could have, you know.
I thought Sean Porter had it too. He was like, oh, well.
You know.
He was he was a weirdo last night. The things he was saying.
He really was, man. Yeah, he really was.
He was like really weird. He was really weird. His commentary last night.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal was, man. He would talked about himself a lot. Talked about how he's the mandatory for Spence and Crawford and everything like that. But yet, who did he fight last? Who did Porter fight last?
Oh, that freaking.
I don't even remember his name. I don't even remember his name.
A weird name, yeah. And I think he went the distance with him too. He didn't get him out of there.
Right, right. You know, he didn't even go the distance with him, but he's always talking about, this and that and everything like that. But
yeah.
There you go. Antonio Lorta says Adrian Broner is always going to be in the running for the train wreck of the week. He's completely right. The boy's got some sense, tell you that. All right, but let's get back to it. You could have argued that, coming in, and I talked to you about this last night, coming into this fight, that Danny Garcia had not lost a fight coming into this one. Because I'll tell you what, I had him beating both Porter and Thurman. I had him winning those fights. A lot of people didn't. Some people did. Whatever. But these were very close fights. Errol Spence dominated this fight. He did it with volume. He did it with pressure. Garcia was largely throwing one shot at a time. Looking to counter, and for the most part, was not effective. He did manage to hit Spence flush a few times during the fight. But Spence is a big guy. We knew Spence was the bigger guy, but that size difference was major. That was a major size difference for Spence. Garcia hit him flush a couple of times. He hit him flush in that first round. And that's all he seemed to be counting on, is to try to get him out of there, which I don't understand. But, I mean, he couldn't land his left, so he was looking for the straight right hand, and he landed it, and Spence took it well. And, again, now what? When he eats that shot, now what? Now what's your plan B? They didn't seem to have one, Beeb. He went back to the corner. Angel Garcia gave him zero instruction. It was like a cheerleading rally in there. Excuse me. It was like a cheerleading rally in there. Gave him no instruction at all. And that, I mean, you had the end result there. I mean, he took a beating last night. I mean, it was, listen, I don't know what Copy Box was watching last night. I don't think those numbers were that close. It looked to me like Spence was firing off 5-6 shots at a clip. Garcia maybe 1 or 2, you know, just looking to counter. Garcia did not look anywhere near as busy.
He was getting out punched at least 3-1, probably 4-1.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
No question. My opinion.
I was, like I said, man, Danny Garcia could have claimed that he was unbeaten coming in here. Because, like I said, the Porter, the Thurman fights, you know, they were close fights. No one's ever really beaten him up or convincingly won. This was convincing. I mean, this was very convincing. And, again, we were talking about it before the air. I don't know who the matchmaker for PBC is, a genius. Because, we talked about this before the air. We talk about that book all the time that we read and promoted on the show and everything. And the guy said in the book that 90% of the fights are fixed going in. And it doesn't mean that they're paying off judges or paying off referees. It just means that 90% of the time we know who's going to win in the fight. You know, when we make the fight, we know who's going to win. This was a great example of that because, you know, you got a bigger, faster, stronger guy in there. You got a guy who's got a big name with Danny Garcia, and the fight wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. B, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, I got the Spence that we had before the car accident, and I wasn't 100% sure that was the Spence that we were going to get, but we did get that.
Yes.
I would argue, and this is maybe a little bit over the top, but I think this was probably Spence's best performance at welterweight.
I think so. Well, Danny Garcia's a natural welter. I mean, he's been there for a while.
Here's the thing. Danny Garcia, style-wise, is always going to have problems with a guy like Spence because Danny doesn't have fast feet. We already know that. Mid-range guy, short arms, not a guy who could fight from a distance, not a guy who could fight very well on the inside, which is two of Spence's strengths because Spence can do it all just like Crawford can do it all. But the jab was key here. And the reason why the jab was key here was because the way Spence throws his jab, and most guys throw their jabs, you know, you can see them twisting the hand and the way they throw their shoulder. You could just see them turning it. You could see it. Spence has his hands like this when he's throwing his jab, and he just kind of just throws it like that. He just throws it like that. It's almost like a stiletto the way it comes out. It's such a short, explosive movement. And when he throws it, the way that the jab hits his opponent, it scrapes up their face, and it usually causes that abrasion and those cuts on a lot of guys. This time you see Spence fight somebody, they always have those cuts and bumps and bruises around their eyes. Because the way he throws that jab, it's like a slicing motion upwards. And the way he just throws it, he just stabs it. It basically throws it from the elbow, and just boom, twist it. Like, it doesn't throw it like a conventional person would throw their jab. It's such a short, shortened up movement, and it's like a stabbing movement. And that's what makes his jab so hard to stop in time, you know, because of how he throws it. And it just comes out so straight and just like a stiletto. And it's not like normal people, a normal conventional jab, really. If you watch other people who throw the jab in a conventional fashion, he doesn't throw it the same way those guys do. So that's the big difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, I tell you, I called you last night and said I texted you last night and said that, you know, I think he might have a chance here. Talking about Danny Garcia, you know.
Yeah.
I had that feeling. I said, you know, and I didn't pick him to win, obviously, and I wouldn't have picked him to win. I just said, hey, man, the guy has got – I think he might have a shot here. I think maybe a lot of people are overlooking him.
Now. I was nervous for him because I wasn't sure. I was really concerned about that car accident. And here's the thing. I have to give him full credit because here's the thing. He must have been going through some type of – post-traumatic stress. I guess they're saying
right?
I guess they're saying he forgot the whole accident. He can't remember anything from it.
He doesn't remember anything. Yeah, he doesn't remember being in the hospital.
But I'm sure he has seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's seen pictures of himself.
Yeah.
with the damage to his face and stuff. And looking at that, and him looking at that and saying to himself, wow, look what I did. Look what happened to me. Yeah. You know, what if I'm not all the way back? Being able to have the mental stress to just overcome that. This is almost like when Vinny Pazienza got in his car accident. Yeah. Obviously, he had the big neck injury or whatever. But this was a type of thing where Errol Spence was close to death, could have died.
He was very lucky.
He was extremely lucky that he only suffered like damage to his teeth or whatever.
Yeah.
But for him to be able to have the mental strength to come back from something like this, and even being a year and a half off and showing no ring rust at all.
No.
This was the best I've ever seen him look. This couldn't have gone, you know, play out any better than it did for him last night. And Angel Garcia was so frustrating. Danny, you gonna let your hands go, Danny. Danny, you gonna let your hands go, Danny. Give him some fucking instructions.
Right.
You got a guy in Errol Spence that just keeps stepping around him.
Yep.
He's stepping around him all night. As soon as Danny tries to get set to punch, Spence is like, boom, shoots the fucking jab, and then he's fucking moving.
Yep.
Moving, sticking, moving. You're supposed to tell him, Danny, you know what? He's got fast feet. You're not going to beat him from the outside. You're going to have to just go in there and try to maul him on the inside. You're going to have to lean on him. You have to grab him, hold him, and hit him. You're going to have to make this a dirty fight, Danny. This is what you're going to have to do, Danny. You're not going to be able to wait on this guy. This guy, his feet
quick.
Are too fast. His hands are too fast. You're not going to be able to land just one punch against this guy. You're going to have to go in there. You have to grab him with one arm, and you have to rip, go to the body with the other hand. You're going to have to just make this an ugly, mauling fight. You're going to have to turn into Antonio Margarito for one night.
Yeah.
Which is something that he probably doesn't have the ability to do, but he's going to have
right.
to try it.
Well, I think that's the thing. I mean, he fought X amount of fights this way throughout his entire career and been successful. And now he's up against a guy where this is not going to be almost as if I don't understand it. Almost as if they've never seen Spence fight. What did you guys prepare for? You know, and I understand sparring like you're going to fight Spence and fighting Spence, two different things. I get that.
Danny, you got to back him up. You got to let your hands go. You got to back him up. You're showing him too much respect. Not showing him too much respect. He couldn't deal with the foot speed. So
right.
you tell him, you know, Danny, you're gonna have to bum rush him, and you have to maul him on the inside. You just got to maul him on the inside because you're not gonna beat this guy with counter punching. You're not gonna beat him from the outside. You're not gonna beat him from the mid range.
No.
You're just gonna have to hold and hit him. And then you have to push him off, and then you're gonna have to throw punches. You know, you're just gonna have to make the fight rough and double and ugly. You're not gonna outbox this guy, Danny. You're
no.
not.
And
it's not gonna happen.
Wasn't even close. I mean. Spence was faster. He was bigger. He was definitely stronger than Danny. And, you know, you kind of wonder if, you know, you kind of wonder, like, did he know? I mean, I think the writing was on the wall. You know, you kind of wonder, was the writing on the wall in the first four rounds that, listen, man, there's nothing you're going to do to beat this guy?
Oh,
you know,
during one of the interviews, he said, you know, he's going to be surprised. I'm going to be landing big shots on him. So he's basically kind of saying that, you know, that he was thinking that he could land one big shot and stop him in his tracks and just turn this fight.
You know,
but here's another thing too.
He's a big guy.
Spence's defense was incredible.
Yeah.
Because he would get underneath shots. He would roll shots. He would partially block shots. On a few occasions, he did get hit with the right hand clean, but more often than not, he was partially blocking shots, he was getting underneath shots, and he was rolling shots. So he was taking shots, not the full brunt of them, you know? And even when Danny landed at the right hand, he still kind of rode the punch out because he could see, you know, he could see everything Danny threw, he could see coming. And even
yeah.
even the shots that did get through, He would ride them out at the last minute. So I don't think he was ever wobbled or hurt in this fight. I know the commentator said that he was maybe did a you know buckled his knees once. I didn't notice it. I didn't see it. I didn't notice or see that he was hurt once in this fight.
He
I could have
buzzed at times. I mean, when Garcia hit him a couple of good shots through the fight, and he looked buzzed, but not shaken. You know, he got his attention.
Got his attention.
Yeah.
But nothing was earth-shattering or whatever. But you could see Spence was really ripping the shit out of Danny's body.
Yeah, that was a big one. That body work that Spence was doing, that, you know, and I think that slowed him down. I really do. And Danny wasn't anywhere near as fast as Spence to begin with. So it was just, it was a bad formula. Bad, you know, for them, it was a bad fight. You know, you're not going to beat this guy. And they relied so much on Danny's power for this fight. He's not going to, Spence is a big guy. Spence could easily move up to 160 with no problems. You know, he's that
big. He's almost 5'10".
He's that big.
Yeah.
He can go to 160, and I would say
he's bigger than Crawford.
Yes.
He's bigger than Crawford.
He's a big, strong guy. He hits hard, you know. Ryan Hong says, Danny Yar, Yelisunov beats Spence on points wide. Listen, I'm a big fan of that guy, but I think putting him in right now might be a little premature. I'd like to see some more seasoning on that guy before they put him in there and ruin him.
Yeah, I don't know too much about that guy. I saw him that fight one time.
He looked good. I mean, he looked really good. He looked dynamite, man. But
I will be keeping my eye out on him, though.
I do want to see him fight some. I wouldn't put him in there against anybody, you know, like that yet. But I want to see him up his competition and go in there. Crawford versus Spence is all I want to see from England, from Rap Star Boxing Knowledge. Let's talk about after the fight here, Beeb. As far as where he goes from here, Spence didn't seem over anxious to face Terrence Crawford. He said he wants to take some time off and then come back in the summer to fight. My thing is, listen, you've already taken quite a bit of time off with the wreck and everything like that, and with this year has been crazy. I think you need to get back in there and start. You don't want – he was complaining – Spence was complaining about ring rust after the fight. So you want to take, what, another 6 months off? That makes sense, man. I would get that guy back in there around March or April.
When fighters have these types of epiphanies in their careers, they start to change their mentality a little bit, and then it just becomes a business to them. And I kind of understand it, because now he's talking, said, all I care about is my family, my ranch, and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. And again, I'm not knocking anybody. A lot of times we get up and we go to work, we do it for the money. And I'm sure fighters do the same thing. But I think every fighter reaches that point where they just they stop really becoming not the sense that they stop becoming fighters, but they become businessmen first and maybe fighters second. Because his ability is always going to be there. That's not going to ever – he's just a naturally gifted guy, and he's always going to be able – he's always going to prepare and be in shape and stuff like that. But the thing is this. I'm just starting to see that transformation now, where it's more about I'm looking at the long game. I'm looking at – you know, I just had a life-and-death experience, okay? I'm learning to appreciate my life and my kids and my family more so. And I think everything else now is secondary. The whole thing about eat, sleeping, and drinking, boxing, yeah, when I have a fight signed, but when I don't have a fight signed, my family's going to come first.
Yeah,
I'm going to bank as much money as I can, and I want to spend as much time as I can with my family, because that was a close call that I just had about a year and a half ago. And, you know, that he probably had an epiphany, saying to himself that he appreciates life that much more. And I could totally understand that. So I just think his mentality has changed now. Now it's bigger than Crawford. It's bigger than boxing. It's more about his family. So.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, am I a terrible person for saying I don't like that attitude?
As a fan, it's human nature to not like that attitude.
Listen, man,
because it prevents you. It prevents you from getting what you want as a consumer.
Do you remember when Manny Pacquiao found religion? Let's say.
Yes.
And then he was practicing religion and everything like that. All the cockfights, all the partying, the hookers, everything else. He wasn't the same guy. I don't think he was the same guy. He wasn't that killer anymore, man. Listen, man. I mean, from a human standpoint, yes, I agree 100% with Errol Spence. And that's what he should do. Because you only go around once, man. But
yeah,
for the deviant fan that's in me, I hate it. I hate it, you know.
We all feel that way. My heart dropped. You know what? Because when they asked him when Crawford was there,
yeah,
what do you think about Crawford coming? What do you think about Crawford being there? Oh, I didn't ask him to come. What happened to all that energy? He said that he doesn't care about me. He's not chasing me. Why is he going to my fights? I don't go to his fights. Why is he going to my fights? Blah, blah, blah. My heart dropped. When he said that, my heart dropped. I was like, oh, no, we're going to do this again. We're going to have to wait fucking 5 years for a fight again like we did with Mayweather Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Are we really gonna go back to this place again?
Yep.
My heart just hit the floor when he started talking like that.
It's insane. What would have been
great though is if Crawford did some Tyson Fury WWE type shit, like when Tyson Fury jumped in the ring for Wilder. If Crawford just jumped in the ring and just started, but that's not who he is.
Just running him down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just running him down. Calling him a coward. Telling him he can't drive. Whatever you got to do to make that fight happen, you make that fight happen.
Crawford's got to be happy now seeing the performance that Spence put on last night now, because now he knows he'll have the real Spence. He won't have a compromised version of what Spence was. This is the real Spence. This is the best Spence has ever looked.
Yeah, and Bob Arum's right to a lot of extent. It's hard to promote this guy. Listen, you had him right there. I know you were at the press conference. You could have went to the press conference there, called him out right there. Called him a sissy, whatever you want to do. Call him any name in the book.
You should have been walking up and down there. You should have been like interviewed by fucking the PBC people. You should have openly like walked up to like Porter and said, "Hey Sean, can I get an interview?" You know what I mean?
I don't get it. I don't get it. You either want the fight or you don't want the fight. Neither one of them want the fight, you know?
Yeah.
Both say that, you know, one says he wants to fight, the other one doesn't even acknowledge it. He doesn't want the fight.
Bud's ego won't let him admit that. He's probably going to have to push harder than he's going to be out. He's going to have to be the one to really try to push hard to get the fight, because.
Spence
is in a better position.
But can I be honest though?
Yeah.
He doesn't want the fight. Spence doesn't want the fight.
No,
and
he doesn't.
If Spence doesn't want the fight, you're not going to make that fight. It's that simple. He doesn't want it.
Crawford wants the fight more than Spence does, because Crawford needs the fight more than Spence does.
Right.
Because Crawford doesn't have here's the thing. Crawford should really try to get Sean Porter next if he can't get Spence or Pacquiao.
I think Crawford does a number on Sean Porter. I really do.
Yeah, I'd love to see that style matchup.
That is a bad style matchup for Sean Porter. It really is. And if he's smart, if Bob Arum is smart, the heck with Pacquiao, you go after Crawford. Because you don't know what's going on with Pacquiao. He hasn't fought. You know, the WBA, he's the WBA champ. He hasn't fought in who knows how long. And then the WBA's got an interim champ. And then they've got a regular champ. What? Come on,
When are they going to strip Pacquiao?
Who knows?
How long is it going to take them to strip him?
Who knows, man? All right, let's talk about the rest of this undercard. Sebastian Fundora versus Habib Ahmed. Fundora looked really good here, man. Won by a TKO in the second round. Ahmed was a late substitute for Jorge Cota, who I'd much rather seen in this fight than Ahmed. Ahmed had no clue on what he was in for. No clue how to get past, you know, the 9 feet reach of Sebastian Fundora. Had no idea and just got pummeled, son. Just got pummeled. It was, I mean, just destruction.
Isn't it amazing seeing this tall, lanky guy?
He's built like a spear.
battle it out with guys on the inside like that?
154 pounds that guy is. And apparently he has no trouble making that weight. I don't get it. And he seems like such a happy-go-lucky guy, you know?
He looks like, you ever see that movie 300?
No, I know what you're talking about, but I have not seen it.
The tall, lanky, the god king or whatever that guy,
yeah.
He's bald, but he's so tall and lanky. He looks like that guy.
That's insane, right?
Oh, he's built. Xerxes, the god, the guy Xerxes. He looks like freaking Xerxes.
It's insane. It is
crazy.
Insane. Let's talk about this next one. Josecito Lopez versus Francisco Santana. Yeah, this is a tough one, man. This is a tough one to watch.
Oh, this was aggravating as hell.
Yeah, Josecito Lopez wins by 10th round TK over friend of the show, Francisco Santana. Santana took a beating in this fight. And let me tell you what, the ref and his corner did him no favors. Why Santana's corner did not stop that fight in the 9th round or earlier, because he wasn't winning the fight. He was taking a lot of shots. You know, when he walked back to that corner, he was wobbled. The referee, I believe, was looking the other way. I believe he was walking Josecito back to his corner, and maybe he didn't see it, you know. But his corner saw it, and why his corner let him go back out there makes me sick.
You know who that guy is? That's
really
the guy he's trained.
Knuckleheads, yeah, Knuckleheads Boxing Club.
That's the guy that used to train Victor Ortiz, the guy named Hoss.
They're, right, they're both from Knuckleheads. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Knuckleheads Boxing Gym, yeah.
He's the worst trainer of all time.
Awful.
He's notorious for, like, because his guys are always usually the B-side anyways, and he just lets his guys get the bag beat out of them.
Yeah.
And he never stops the fight, ever.
Never.
He just disgraced that guy.
Awful. Awful. You know, I mean, you didn't do that guy any favors at all. You didn't do Santana any favors. And listen, man, Santana is a warrior and everything. I get it. And the nicest guy you'll ever talk to. He really is. We had him on the show. Unbelievable guy, man. I don't want to see him in there again. I don't.
I don't want to see that trainer ever again.
Yeah, I don't want to see him
ever.
But yeah, man, it was hard to watch. Josecito Lopez is 36 years old, and if he goes up with any of the top guys, and I know he went life and death with Thurman. Could you imagine him with Spence or somebody? I mean, come on.
No.
Could you imagine him with Danny Garcia? No.
But the PBC are just going to keep recycling these guys because they're going to be good tune-up fights.
Yeah, Santana. You know.
Guess who's going to fight Josecito Lopez next?
Who?
Probably Danny Garcia.
Ugh. Unreal.
You watch. Mark my words.
Yeah, you know what? I don't doubt it. I'll be honest, I don't doubt it.
They gave Redcatch fought Danny Garcia. What was that for? Every time Danny Garcia loses, they'll give him a couple fights like Josecito Lopez, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll do.
It's insane. Vito Milnecki versus Steve Pulliam. Milnecki wins by unanimous decision over Pulliam. Scores a 60-52 on all cards. Milnecki knocked down Pulliam in round one, in round two, and then just won every round. I mean, I don't even want to say he cruised to a decision, but because the guy was in there to fight. Pulliam, I tell you what, he was in there to fight. He did a lot of complaining, though, talking about low blows, talking about, you know, that first knockdown on the back, maybe it hit him on the back of the head. I don't know. It was a bad angle, so I can't really tell. Protect yourself. That's how you don't get hit in the back of the head. Protect yourself. You know, stop doing these weird angles and stuff like that, and then you don't get hit. Listen, if a guy's throwing a punch and you turn your back and he hits you in the back, that's your fault, you know? The guy, I tell you what, the matchmaking for this was good because this is a fight that I think Milnecki needed. This is the kind of fight that I like to see him in, something that he's not just going to run over the other guy. The other guy was in there. He did a good job. He was very, very defensive. did a very good job of surviving. But the other thing he did was he tagged Melnicki a couple of times. Melnicki, of course, took the shots very well. But that's what he needs. He needs, like, a stiffer opposition coming up. And
he's rounds.
Rounds, exactly.
He's rounds.
You know, 45 seconds isn't going to do anything for him, you know, if he goes out and polishes that guy. This is what he needs. And I tell you what, he got a lot of experience in this fight. And, again, man, that guy he was fighting, he was no pushover, you know. I mean, he was definitely not a pushover. That guy could fight, and he knew what he was doing. He had some good experience in there. You know, he knew what he was doing. And Melnicki just knew more. He threw punches. Again, he's like he reminded me a lot of Errol Spence in the sense that he threw a lot of punches in this fight. He throws in combinations. You don't see him throw one shot and that's it, or two shots and that's it. He's throwing a lot of shots, and he's fast, he's strong, and he's going to be a handful. He really is, man. When he starts moving up and everything like that, he's going to be a handful. And stay tuned, because he's going to be on our show next week. I talked to his people. They're going to be on our. He's going to be on our show next week, so stay tuned for that. So that's going to be great, man. Love having him on.
Looking forward to it.
Across the pond, Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur. I don't know if this was on ESPN Plus or what, but Lyndon Arthur beat Anthony Yard by a split decision. 117-111 for Yard, 115-114 for Arthur, twice. I didn't see the fight. I'll be honest, I wasn't all that interested, but Anthony Yard was a prospect, like a big-time prospect not too long ago. This is his second loss, and that is why you don't rush fighters. That is 100% why you don't rush fighters.
You think Kovalev ruined him?
Yep. I think that loss ruined him. Yep, I sure do. That's why you don't rush him.
Yeah.
There's so many countless times we can name where we've seen fighters come up, get rushed, and then there you go. And that's what happens. On DAZN, Billy Joe Saunders versus Martin Murray. Saunders wins a lopsided decision over Martin Murray by the scores of 118-110 and 120-109 twice. After the fight, Saunders called out Canelo again. That fight ain't happening, guys. I don't know. You know, does anybody want to see it? I'd rather see Canelo fight one of the Charlos or something like that. That fight to me is past its expiration date.
And I love the fact that Canelo's a free agent now. He can fight whoever he wants.
Do whatever he wants.
Whatever the hell he wants now.
JC says, stick a fork in Martin Murray. I 100% agree. It's over. It's over for him, you know.
We already did have a fork in Martin Murray.
Yeah, right? He had a fork in it before this fight, you know. Yeah, he can't come out of England to fight. He's one of my favorite fighters, too. He can't come out of England to fight. He can't come to the U.S. He's banned.
Oh,
something
he got
about
a record
or something like that. Yeah,
he's got a record. Yeah, poor guy. I mean, he can't fight at this level anymore. He knows that.
No.
All right, amazing. He's still getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know. I mean, if they're willing to pay him, I mean, that's what's going to happen. We got some people waiting online. Before we go to the phones here, let's talk about our train wreck of the week. Then we'll go to the phones and I'll get all the upcoming fights and everything like that and do the rest of the news. This just came in literally less than an hour ago. Train wreck of the week time. And I got it wrong when I looked at this. I thought it was the other one. It's apparently
Logan, right?
It's Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And Floyd Mayweather are going to fight on pay-per-view February 20th of next year. So February 20th, that's what everybody has to look forward to. Beeb, what are your
fighting
thoughts? Logan Paul, not Jake Paul, not the one who just knocked out Nate Robinson. Logan Paul, the one who's 0-1.
Do you want to hear a statistic?
Sure.
Mayweather's last three fights have been against fighters who have no wins. Conor McGregor was 0-0. He had no wins.
No wins?
Tension had no wins as a boxer.
No.
Logan Paul is 0-1 as a boxer.
Three fighters, zero wins. He has, what, 48 wins or 49 wins? If you want to count the McGregor fight as a win, you could say he's 50, but
So this is like Mayweather starting from scratch, all over again.
Are you serious, man?
You're coming up as a prospect, and you're fighting all these guys that are 0-20 or whatever. He's basically reversed, going back to the old process. He's already been through this process. Now he's going back to it again.
I don't understand it. He must be flat broke, Beeb. I mean, I don't have a better explanation. He's got to be broke.
He's got to be
broke. Reese Mack says, how much would Floyd get paid to fight Logan? I have no idea. Nothing's been released yet. And everybody say, oh, Floyd's making bank. Listen, apparently he's also spending bank, too. Because, again, he's got to be flat broke.
If you have all those properties that you have to pay taxes on, you have to pay utilities on, you got all those freaking cars, you got all them that entourage that you travel around in, mm-hmm. you got those jets that you're renting, and then you got all these jewelry and all this and that, and then you're selling cars and you're losing millions on the cars that you sell because no one wants to buy them for the price that you know.
Right. It's a lot of upkeep, man. A lot of upkeep. JC says all those strip clubs, exactly, you know. Lobo Champ says Floyd the master manipulator. Who's he manipulating? I mean,
manipulate me this time. I'm up. This is one time I put my foot down. I am not watching or buying this. This is it.
And we're going to play this back in February when you purchase the fight.
No. This is where I draw the line.
This is it.
This
huh?
is where I draw the line.
How dare you?
I'm done.
How dare you? Logan Paul's from Titletown, so I give him a fair shot. I give him about a 50-50 to beat Floyd. Listen, is this fight bad, Beeb? I mean, really? I mean, Floyd Mayweather, you know.
It's putrid.
Is it?
It's putrid.
What other fighters are fighting, though? Who's Spence going to fight? Who's Crawford going to fight?
I'll tell you who they're not going to fight. They're not fighting Logan Paul.
Honestly, I mean, seriously, though, think about this for a minute. If our guys were fighting legitimate people, if boxers were fighting the best and the best were fighting each other, these fights wouldn't even exist. 100%. There's a void right now. That's why these fights are happening. Because they got this mentality. I want to get paid. I want to get paid first. I want to get paid $1 billion to fight the top guy.
I'm a YouTube personality. Let me fight somebody.
$50 is all it'll take to get me. I'll get into a Floyd for $50.
Let me fight somebody.
$50. That's it. Yeah. Why don't we just start our own fight club here?
I want to fight Robbie.
Yeah. I got dibs on Robbie.
I want to fight Robbie.
You want to fight Robbie? All right.
Let me fight Jason.
Oh, you fight Jason. I'll fight Robert. How about that?
18-ounce gloves. We'll put them. We'll be on the board.
I could probably take Robbie.
We'll both be on the same card. You can fight Robbie. I'll fight Jason.
Yeah. That works. I think I could take Robert. I don't know. He's strong though. He's gonna be fast. Cause he's a small guy. He's gonna be quick. He's definitely faster than I am. All right. 805.
Hey,
live.
What's up, guys? What's up, B? What's up, Eric?
What's up?
Nothing much.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. And you guys?
Good, man. Phenomenal. Okay. That's the new word of the day, phenomenal. That's what everybody seems
phenomenal.
To say. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I'm so phenomenal. I'm so phenomenal these days.
So
who do you got? You got Logan Paul knocking out Floyd or what? You got him,
Eric.
Title pound, baby. If that's the case,
then I got an iceberg to sell you, Eric.
I think he's too big for Floyd. Let me tell you this right now. I think he's too big for Floyd. He's going to keep that jab in his face all night. He's going to frustrate Floyd. I think he might put him away, man. I think he might put him away.
I don't know about that. So, recapping with the fights this weekend. Saunders just basically won a sparring session. Murray looked completely like he should retire. He's done. So that was an easy win for him. That's an easy win for Saunders. I mean, I don't know, man. At this point, I don't know when the hell Saunders is going to get a legit fight. Like, I'm getting tired of seeing him fight these dudes who are done or who are never worse, you know? Like, he's got to step up and fight somebody at some point.
What's stopping him?
Yeah, I don't know.
But, I mean, really, what's stopping him? He's got Andrade right there, Demetrius Andrade or whatever, you know. He's got him right there. Fight him.
Yeah, they should. They should fight each other.
There's people for him to fight other than Martin Murray.
Yeah, but, yeah, he's just looking to get paid, like you guys were saying right now. He just wants easy money for terrible fights. So, you know, it is what it is. And then, God, that Lyndon Arthur, Anthony Yard fight, that was so disappointing. I thought Yard was going to come out and go after him, but he just let Arthur pick him apart all night with the damn jab. It was ridiculous. He never got out of...
Good decision?
No way. I had Arthur winning.
Yard's prime robbery.
Yeah, but it wasn't close, Beeb. I had Arthur winning that fight 16-12, so it wasn't a robbery. He pretty much dominated the first half of the fight, and then the last half of the fight he won just enough rounds to basically win the fight. Yard to me didn't do anything the first like 7 rounds of the fight, and then towards the end he came on and kind of stole a few rounds, but by then it was too late. Like, he should have been attacking this guy from jump, and he didn't. He literally was just trying to like peck and poke him the first half of the fight, and it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this guy has no power to keep him off of you, and all he's doing is just throwing a jab and circling the ring. It's like he should have just attacked the guy, and he didn't. It was crazy. But, you know, he lost that fight. He gave it away. So Yard has nobody to blame but himself for that. And then the fights last night, man, you guys were right. Like, Danny Garcia's dad just had no answers, and legit, Danny Garcia was never going to get out of first gear. He was never going to get out of first gear. We've seen the guy fight 39 fights. Did they really think he was going to turn into like an aggressive, you know, come forward fighter? No way. That guy likes to sit back and counterpunch all night. So you knew that once Spence started, you know, building up the momentum and coming after him and hitting him to the body, he wasn't going to be able to keep him off of him. And that's what happened. He just attacked Danny all night, and Danny had no answers. Like Beef said, Spence was able to roll a lot of his shots off. He was able to duck under. He was able to, like, sidestep some of the hooks and right hands that he threw.
Defense was awesome last night, Errol Spence's.
Yeah, his defense was really good. Really solid. Yeah, he was able to put up his hands when he knew Danny was trying to throw those looping right hands or those left hooks, and he was able to duck under a few of them as well. So he looked good, but like you guys said, I'm disappointed that he's talking
really
about
good.
Picking time off. It's like, dude, come on. Like, you don't have very many fights left at 47.
Off.
You know, yeah, exactly. Cool. You already had time off. Like, you don't got many fights left at 47. Like, even you've admitted that you walk around, like, as a light heavyweight. So you ain't going to be fighting at 47 much longer. Like, I really hope that Crawford comes out and just does whatever he needs to do to get this guy in the ring, because this is getting ridiculous. Like, we need to see that fight.
It ain't gonna happen, son. He's not interested in fighting. That's what everybody's missing. He ain't interested in fighting him.
You think Jermell
sure
will go up to middleweight soon too? You think Jermell will go up to middleweight soon, and then Errol Spence will kind of take over the junior middleweight division?
I don't know.
I don't know if he'll take over 54 though, because a lot of the guys at 54 are big guys. He's not going to be able to steamroll dudes at 54 the way he can at 47. I mean, Hurd and Rosario and Julian Williams, they're all bigger dudes. They're not small guys who moved up to 54.
I think he'd beat all those guys.
Yeah, but he's not going to steamroll them, though, Beep. He could beat them, but he won't steamroll them.
He's not steamrolling anyone at 147 anymore either.
Well, I thought
you
he did
really
that to Danny Garcia last night.
Well,
I thought he steamrolled him last night, but he didn't steamroll him.
It wasn't like he was like beating him up.
Oh, Pete, did you see his face? Come on, Danny. I've never seen Danny Garcia get lumped up like that. He got hands put on him last night.
He got hands put on him last night.
Yeah.
Well, no,
again,
but I mean, he's
you know, if you get it, I'm not
Garcia
saying like he's not
though.
Walking. Well, he did. I'm not denying that. Listen, no one likes getting punched in the face, but he didn't steamroll Danny Garcia a lot. He didn't want, like, he steamrolled Chris Algieri. He steamrolled Kell Brook.
Okay,
listen,
so then what would you call this?
I mean, he took all those shots.
A slow, methodical
beating.
I would call it a blowout. I would call it a blowout.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he steamrolled him. What I'm trying to say is he may not be this one-punch knockout guy that everyone thinks he is. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
so
no.
He's a guy
that
is probably going to win a lot of fights now on decision as the competition gets better. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. No, he's not knocking guys out dead with one shot. No way. He basically accumulates his knockouts. That's what he does. So, yeah, not at all. Really quick about the other guys. Man, Fundora, just, oh, my God. Talk about a beatdown on poor Ahmed. Like, that guy had no shot whatsoever.
Down. That's a beatdown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was
a steamroll.
Yeah.
That's a steamroll. You can use steamroll when you want to, for that fight. That's a steamroll.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He beat him. Man, I don't know who's going to take on that kid at 54. Like, I don't think any of the guys want a piece of that guy. He's so damn big and he attacks with both hands that it's going to be tough to get somebody in there unless they're a mandatory against this kid, because I don't think they're going to want to deal with him. He's huge.
Jermontae Clark beat him, son.
Nah,
Clark beat that dude.
But he didn't get the...
He already laid out the blueprint, son. He already laid out the blueprint.
How do you think he would do against a Jermell Charlo right now?
He'd get murked.
Right?
He gets murked. He's too young. Yeah, he's too little right now. He was too young right now, man.
He's too young.
Yeah. He's too young in the sport. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not like he's 15.
That guy's a giant. That guy's new nickname is Xerxes. I'm going to call him Xerxes from that one.
Xerxes.
And then,
like that one, Nash?
Really,
like that one?
Yeah. The other, Eduardo Ramirez, man, what a beautiful counter right hook he landed on Miguel Flores and took him out with that shot. That was just awesome. I think that kid has gotten better and better as time has gone along. He lost a couple of fights early, but lately he's been on a roll, and I wouldn't mind seeing him fight, you know, somebody with a belt soon, because I think he's ready. I don't think you need to give him any more Miguel Flores type fights anymore. I think he's ready to fight somebody with a, whether it's Warrington or Zucan,
well, that's
or
what
whoever.
It was supposed to be, right? It was supposed to be an eliminator, right?
I think so, but do you know what belt it was for? Was it the IBF or the WBA?
The UDF belt? I don't know.
Yeah.
The United Dairy Farmer belt? I don't know. For the Denny's restaurant belt, you know.
Yeah, he's ready for
the
a title shot. I don't think
title belt.
The one on Eric's wall, the one behind Eric's wall.
I'm not putting that one on the line, son.
Okay.
All right, Notch, we're gonna get running, man.
All right, guys.
All right, man.
Take care, Nacho.
773. I think this is Chicago.
I think this is Kevin.
Kevin, 773, you're live.
How the hell are you?
Kevin, what's happening?
Kevin, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. Just getting ready for the holidays. Good time of the year, my favorite time.
You're in a good mood. You're in a good mood today.
You're in a great mood tonight. I like it.
You're not a negative Nelly. You're not a negative Nelly today.
I like upbeat Kevin.
Don't hold your breath, because I might have some negative Nelly to say this, but I just got to say, Nacho sure knows how to babble. Man, can he talk some boxing up?
He said Nacho knows how to babble. Wow. That's rough,
man. He breaks down all the fights. He comes in, he tells you everything about the fight, this fight and that fight. I love it, Nacho. You have the great work. But as far as this weekend of boxing.
That's the greatest backhanded compliment you ever heard in your life.
Wow.
Another set of mismatches, guys. That's what it was. It's mismatch city. I mean, that Billy Joe Saunders versus Martin Murray. Give me a break, dude. That Martin Murray, dude, that dude didn't even put up a fight. It was just a walk in the park, stick and move, easy as hell. And same thing with Danny Garcia. Really wasn't in there to win the fight. It looked like he was in there to survive. It looked like he was just throwing just to keep Spence honest, just to stay. We could hang around and not get finished. He was up against the ropes the whole time. I mean, that wasn't a competitive fight. I like to know the scorecard, but in my opinion, it was a pretty much a really lopsided fight besides this punch stats. And then that Fandora, dude, come on. This is what I hate about boxing, man. They really put that poor dude in there against Fandora. They flew him halfway across the world just so he can get fed to Fedora like that. That's a shame.
Well, in all fairness, though, he was a late sub. He was supposed to fight Jorge Cota, and he was a late sub. So you got to give him some slack.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't getting ready to see that. He didn't train to see that, man.
It's a late sub.
I mean, there really
wasn't.
Yeah.
There really wasn't too much competitive action. I mean, Lyndon Arthur versus Yardy, that was a decent scrap. But, I mean, Yardy, I don't know. I don't know how high I am on him. He got roughed up by old Cobra. So I just wanted to punch. But I will say this. Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. The thing about Logan Paul is, the younger brothers are always tougher and bigger than Logan Paul. Logan Paul, he got his ball snipped after he did that suicide forest thing. He got his ball snipped. He turned a little social justice warrior. He's out doing Black Lives Matter and saying, oh, me as a white man, I sympathize with the black cause and I check my white privilege. And
did you say you as a white man?
Yeah, that's what
Logan
Paul
did. Did you say you as the white man?
Guy, this guy is straight
that's
out of American
Logan
history.
Paul did,
so we'll never go mainstream,
so
babe. You know, I'll tell you why.
Go in there and whoop his ass for being a little bitch. That's what Logan Paul is, a little bitch. With his little soft toast.
From Ohio.
He may be from Titletown. He may be a Midwest boy, but he turned into a little L.A. soy boy from being in L.A. for so long. He turned into the L.A. soy boy.
Stop it.
And so Floyd Mayweather saw this, and he said, he's got a bunch of fanboys, the Logan Paul fanboys that will buy his pay-per-view and say, hey, I'll go make a quick buck. I don't blame him, Floyd Mayweather. He's getting there with some of these young champions, obviously. So he's gonna go make some money off this little soy boy, Logan Paul. But Jake Paul, he's cut from a different cloth.
He's a vegan.
Jake Paul's cut from a different cloth.
Need what he wants.
He's tougher. He's
vegan.
Crafter. I'm telling you guys.
He's vegan.
All right, Kevin. We're going to get rolling.
Hold on. He's a vegan.
He's a vegan, baby. What are you going to do? That's what he called him, soy boy. He's a vegan. What you going to do? Hey, B, by the way, before I go to the next call here, and I'll be there in just a second, I just wanted to let you know, I predicted this whole Errol Spence and Danny Garcia fight. I predicted this 10 months ago. I actually put a video out. Yeah, I actually put a video out on Friday. I just put a video out on Friday just, like, reminding everybody that I did this, okay? So just to let you know. Yeah.
It's in the memory banks. Don't worry about it.
That's right. 10 months ago, B, to the day.
Feeling video.
To the day. Did anybody ever come up with that Wood video that supposedly 10 months ago? No, nobody heard of that video. In fact, somebody wrote me and said, hey, we went and looked at Wood's page, and the video he had on there, he was picking the other guy. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Just say you lost, man. It's all good, man. Nobody cares.
Go.
It's not like you had to take a pie in the face. You know what I mean?
Just take the L. That's it.
I had to take the pie. You know what I'm saying? That's the worst part about the show, is that you don't get called up and you get humiliated in front of a ton of people. You get humiliated. Pie's going to face
thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah, you just get humiliated. That's the worst part. And we got to take it like a man when it happens. Some people do, some people not so much. What are you going to do? 760-760, you're live.
Hey, what's happening? Hey, can you come back to me?
What's this?
Hey, can you come back to me?
Absolutely. Who said nobody ever?
Then that was Brian.
Sure. Let's just go ahead and put the show on hold. Why not? Why not? Yeah, absolutely. We'll go ahead and wait for you. No big deal.
Crazy, isn't it?
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. All right. So let's go to the fights next week before we jump out of here. All right. So let's see here. December 12th, ESPN in Las Vegas, Shakur Stevenson versus Toka Khan Clary, 10 rounds, junior lightweights. I want to see Stevenson move up in talent. You know what I mean? I want to see him fight better guys than Toka Khan Clary. He's going to wipe Toka Khan Clary over 10 rounds. He might even get rid of him. I don't know. Felix Verdejo on the undercard there versus Masayoshi Nakatani, 10 rounds, lightweights. Clay Collard, our boy, versus Quincy Levias. 8 rounds, middleweights, Robeson Romero. This card is stacked, man. This card is a good card. It got a lot of highlights on it. A good squash card, I think. Robeson Romero versus Brandon Valdez. You know what? I got a feeling, man. I got a feeling they're going to try to make the Robeson Romero Shakur Stevenson fight. I think it's a bad move, but I have a feeling they're going to try to make that soon. You know what I mean? I just got that feeling. I don't know why. I just do. It's a bad look. It really is. It's not good. Not good.
Yeah.
Edgar Berlanga also on the undercard versus Ulysses Sierra, 8 rounds, super middleweights. On DAZN, December 12th, the big one, Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev, 12 rounds for Joshua's WBA, WBO, and IBF heavyweight titles. Lawrence Okoli on the undercard versus the dreaded TVA for the vacant WBO cruiserweight title. How's he fighting the TVA for the vacant cruiserweight title? How's that work?
You know? The name's out of a hat, and whoever the lucky guy is, man, you get the title shot.
Whoever shows up at Home Depot, you know? I mean, yeah, all right, you're going. You're going to fight for the title.
That's how it works.
Huey Fury on the undercard versus Marius Wach, 10 rounds, heavyweights. Not a bad card. And we'll talk about that fight in a minute. On DAZN from Auckland, New Zealand, December 12th, Joseph Parker versus Junior Fa, 12 rounds, heavyweights. Decent fight. December 12th, Uncasville, Connecticut on Showtime. Chris Colbert versus Jaime Arboleda. 12 rounds for Colbert's WBA interim junior lightweight title. Again, the WBA has an interim and a regular champ and a super champ, I guess, with Manny Pacquiao. I don't know. Or not Manny Pacquiao, but they've got an interim and they've got a regular champ. It's insane to me. Ronald Ellis also on the undercard versus Matvey Korobov. 10 rounds, middleweights. Let's see what else we got here. December 13th from France. Who cares? Bunch of French people you've never heard of. All right, and that's it. That's it for this weekend. Beeb, let's talk about the card here. Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev. I got to be – oh, it's on the that's right. You know what? I did hear about this. Nacho is right. I think that Junior Fa fight is rescheduled. Didn't one of them catch COVID or something like that? Or somebody got injured. I don't know what it was.
I think something happened.
Yeah, Nacho said it's rescheduled for February. You're right. Yeah, I think I remember reading that. So let's see here. Anthony Joshua and Kubrat Pulev. Listen, do you give Kubrat? Kubrat's 39 years old. And I got to be honest, man, he's never really impressed me. Bob Arum is – I know Bob Arum is really hoping that he wins. He says that if – Bob Arum has came out and said that if Kubrat wins, there'll be a third Wilder fight. Well, yeah, because he's got a rematch clause. I'm sure Anthony Joshua's got a rematch clause, you know. So, yeah, he's going to want to get his belt back. I don't see any way Kubrat beats him. I think that Anthony Joshua is too strong, too skilled. This is a whitewash, man. I don't see Anthony Joshua losing this fight.
I can't tell you one thing that Kubrat Pulev does better than Anthony Joshua.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit, right?
And, you know, he went the distance with Kevin Johnson. He went the distance with a friggin' you, Jerry. He's going the distance with guys like Rydell Booker. He's not really lighting the world on fire with these performances. He's doing just enough to win. He's not incredibly fast. And like you said, he's getting older. He's definitely not getting better.
Yeah.
Actually slowing down. So I don't know what Bob Arum's talking about. I don't think he believes it. I think he's hyperbole, but you know, we'll see.
No. Let's talk about the Shakur Stevenson Tokakon Clary fight. I think Shakur Stevenson, I want to see him start to fight real guys.
Yeah, he's got to step it up.
Tokakon Clary is not what I would consider. He's not in the same league as Shakur. Let's start stepping this up. This is why everybody's got the problem with Bob Arum. I mean, we love Bob Arum in front of the show. I get it. This is why everybody's got the problem, because he puts on good fights every now and then. He's not real consistent at it.
He's still playing these young kids, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Because, you know, this is a time where Shakur Stevenson should start to develop. You know what I mean? They should really start to develop him, get him ready. This is not a guy who's going to get him ready for anything.
Oh.
You know? So that's you know, kind of my thing. So I don't know. But that's this weekend. All right. Georgie, 508, you're live.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people? What's going on with these mafias? They ain't giving you the fights. They don't want to give you the fights, guy. What's going on?
They don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. There's nothing we can do about it, man. This is why we're getting the Logan Pauls and the Floyd Mayweathers and the Tyson Jones.
Promoters and the fighters.
Yo, it is true.
Really going.
They don't want it.
Yo, it is true that Tyson and Roy, they got good numbers. What numbers they got?
I'm glad you brought this up because I completely missed it. The Tyson Jones pay-per-view did from anywhere from 1.25 million buys to 1.5 million buys.
Get
from
the
what I'm understanding,
fuck
from what I'm
out of here.
And let me tell you
what,
the Spence Garcia fight is going to come nowhere close to that. Yeah, the Spence Garcia fight is going to come nowhere close to that.
Yeah, they're not going to do close to that.
No.
Oh, my God.
I heard up to 1.5 million. It is the biggest fight of the year by a landslide.
Yeah, it's not.
Stop feeling niggas out there, huh?
Getting Crawford, what's that?
Gargantuan numbers. Dolphin motherfuckers
huge
out there. Wow.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Got it
about
you. That, bro. That shit is.
I told you guys over a million.
But listen. This is where the mentality is at. But check this out. This is where the mentality of the fan is. Roy already paid his due. Tyson paid his due. This motherfucker did shit for a long time, and we know that the version of this motherfucker that we're going to see is a shadow of themselves. But they earned the way, and people went out there to support. Because you could say whatever you want to say about this man, but on their era, this motherfucker, the name, they fought. The guy that they supposed to fight. You know, and that's why that's part of the success, that people remember that. Now, you think fucking Crawford can pull that shit fucking 30 years from now? You think fucking Wilder can pull that shit fucking 30 years from now? With those shit ass fucking records? Man, listen, as a collective, people still got an amnesia. But we do remember, man, and that's why that success come for these brothers, man. God bless them, man, because this shit was beautiful. I wish they had a fucking rematch. I wouldn't even fucking think twice about paying for it. I had the best time with my friends that day. everything was all, nothing but cheese and laughter, baby. I enjoyed it. Shout out to the Nate
Robinson. You were watching that fight with your friends?
Say what?
Did you say you were watching that fight with your friends?
Yeah, everybody here. We got like 15-minute break. They give us 15-minute break.
Super spreader event, son. Super spreader event. You're the reason everybody's locked down, son. Hope you're happy.
Listen, Ohio got the biggest cases per capita in the whole United States. You better sit down, son. We
they,
here
I think they really do. Yeah, I think they do.
Do they really?
I believe they do. Yeah, we're getting about 10,000 cases a day.
They do.
They're
fucking up
them
ridiculous.
Yeah, they are. It's nuts, man.
I'm not even making jokes about this anymore. This is
serious
this is,
stuff, man. My aunt, I got my aunt and uncle. My uncle just came home from the hospital. My aunt's still in the hospital from this.
Yeah,
it's nothing to joke about, man. It's crazy.
No more COVID jokes on this show.
Yeah.
Well, blessings to everybody out there, families. I heard fucking Manny. Manny was there with his family too on the show. Blessings to him. Another guy said also he had it. So that shit definitely around, man. Everybody got to be safe. But let me hit fucking Danny Garcia real quick. Beeps, you know I've been talking about Danny for many years. I've been saying for a long time, this man is at 140. He was never about to do nothing on 147. Like Crawford, I see with the eye test, a lot of people say, yeah, he could be pound for pound and that he's special. Yeah, he could be. I see it. I'm not going to hate him cat like that. But he looked kind of small to me. He looked like a little Danny sort of fucking size to me. I always said in this show many times, 140 to 147 is a huge step. That's when you separate the little guys from the middle side guys. Because a guy from 147 can go all the way fucking to lightweight, no fucking problem. You only see the Manny Pacquiao in the world. I mean, there's only few people that have, you know, break that threshold from fucking lightweight all the way to fucking Walter and even to the fucking junior middleweight and so.
You did say this, though, a while ago. I do remember. Yeah, I remember you did say this a while ago. You were never sold on Danny Garcia. You didn't even like him at 140 too much, to be honest with you. You were never a huge Danny Garcia fan.
Listen, it's like, let me know, this is going to sound weird, but, yo, follow me to this rabbit hole. You know that motherfucking, what the fuck that do with the Iceland? With the fuck, that so-called millionaire? Epstein, they had a dude, they had a mathematician. Yo, check this out. They had a mathematician who went to do fucking business with the man. And the mathematician could not understand where the fuck these men so-called millions and millions of dollars comes from. That's Danny Garcia. That is like a facade.
Okay.
You think he got this really bad couple of people, they just roll up the fucking YouTube fucking algorithm for them. The IG algorithm. DSG is not really as big as it is. After he took that loss in Puerto Rico that they won Herrera, Puerto Rico disgraced him.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, you can argue he lost that fight. Yeah.
So Danny's really more hype. Danny's more hype, really, that really has following out there.
Yeah.
Lamont Peterson fight, I thought he lost.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot to say. Shout out to the UK. Shout out to the world. And I'm outie.
Shout out to you, Georgie.
From Rikers, Georgie makes it in tonight. 972 from Dallas.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? Maybe it's Errol Spence calling in.
Errol Spence?
972, you live.
Hey, yo, what's up, man?
Who are we speaking to?
How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Who are we speaking to?
Can you guys hear me, man?
Yes, we can hear you.
One more time, who are we speaking to?
Speaking to Tony.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Nice to hear from you, Tony.
Can you hear me?
All right, Tony, go ahead. Yes, we can hear you.
Tony,
loud and clear.
Guess what? We can hear you.
Yeah, man. Errol Spence, he's come back, man. Pray to God, he's back. Errol Spence is back, and there's nothing wrong with Errol Spence. Errol Spence didn't lose a step. He's still got the granite chin, And the man is back for a big fight. So I'm really glad to see Errol Spence in the ring. To be really honest with Danny Garcia, his dad looked very frustrated yesterday, man. And I've never seen his dad like that before. His dad turned around and said, I'm telling my son what to do, but he's not doing it. I've never seen Angel Garcia ever say that in my life. And Angel Garcia was frustrated yesterday. But Danny Garcia, man, he always comes short. He always comes short when it comes to the elite of the welterweights. He's missing something, man. It's like he cannot follow up. Whenever he tries to hurt you, he's not confident to follow up. He's scared to follow up. It's like he's scared if he's going to get hurt trying to follow up, man. And Danny Garcia can't do that against Errol Spence. Errol Spence will walk you down. He got a really good work rate. He'll fuck you up in there, man. You cannot allow Errol Spence to take the rhythm and take it to you. You got to take it to Errol Spence. So Danny Garcia now, I love Danny Garcia, but right now, Danny Garcia is a gatekeeper for the welterweight. Danny Garcia became a gatekeeper yesterday.
Wow.
You want to say
rough,
something?
Man. That's
you
rough,
say something
man. That's
to
me on that? I just did. I said that's rough.
It's not rough. It's the truth. The man lost three times in the welterweight division when he stepped up. Three chances, okay? This man, Danny Garcia, is a big name, especially in America. He's a big name. Now the new guys want to fight somebody like Danny Garcia so you can pay him money. He's going to become the gatekeeper. Danny Garcia cannot win a world title at the welterweight anymore. So what does that make you, brother? If you cannot see yourself winning a world title, what does that make you, brother?
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a show. Where does Errol Spence go from here? Who does he fight next?
Okay, so Danny Garcia is a gatekeeper. I want to make sure that. All right, let's get to Errol Spence. Hey, listen, the truth is I love Danny Garcia, but he's become a gatekeeper for Virgil Ortiz, Jarrett Boot Ennis. I'll even send him Conor Benn. Conor Benn just did something in England, right? Even Conor Benn. All these guys are the gatekeeper, should be Danny Garcia. He's a big name. All right, let's get to Errol Spence. Errol Spence Jr. He needs to now, Terrence Crawford needs to chase Errol Spence and get that fight. Errol Spence is becoming fair by giving Terrence Crawford 40%. That's more than enough that anybody would give you if you got an IBF, WBC title. They're more prestige WBC than the WBO that Terrence Crawford's got. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Errol Spence has two world titles. He got two world titles. Why is Terrence Crawford overpricing himself? I mean, who the fuck does he think he is? He hasn't fought nobody. He fought Victor Postol, Yukus Gamboa. He bring Amir Khan out of 5 years. 5 years past Amir Khan. He bring Benavidez, and then he bring Mean Machine, and then he bring Kell Brook after 6 years. And these guys are washed up. Kell Brook washed up Amir Khan. So where does Terrence Crawford get his momentum and ego from? Can you guys explain that to me?
No, that's a good point. Hang on, Tony. Tony, hang on 1 second. Beeb, let me jump in here. So he brings up a good point. You know, Spence has two belts. What if Crawford were to fight Pacquiao next, which they want to do? That's the fight they want to make, is Crawford versus Pacquiao. He's going to beat Pacquiao. I really believe he's going to beat Pacquiao.
I don't know.
I think so.
I mean,
as well,
Pacquiao
yeah.
at 41
you got the WBA at that point.
Hang on, Tony.
You got the WBA belt right there, and then he's got the WBO belt. Who's the A side in that at that point? Would it still be Spence, or is it a 55-45 fight, or is it, you know?
You know, I would say it would be a 50-50 fight right now, so – if Crawford beats Pacquiao, I think that should vault him into a better bargaining position. Now, would he be 50-50? I don't know.
You know, Errol Spence does have the better resume. I mean, he does. I think Crawford has a better resume overall, but at welterweight, I think
he has a better
resume there.
Errol Spence draws better numbers than Crawford, so I think that's irrefutable. I think he does better pay-per-view numbers than Crawford. So it's, in terms of being a draw, I think you'd have to agree that Errol Spence is definitely bigger in that regard than Terrence Crawford is. Whether Terrence Crawford is willing to admit that or not, it's just the data proves it. There's no, it's virtually irrefutable in my opinion because the data proves it.
So do you think? I mean, when was the last time Pacquiao actually fought?
July of 2019, 17 months ago.
Jeez,
17 months.
Can
ago.
I answer?
I mean,
you?
Like,
I like to answer after you.
Hang tight. I'm gonna put you on hold. Okay, so 17 months ago, right? He's not fighting anyone. And you can blame it on – well, I think they did blame it on the COVID thing because he was supposed to fight. Him and Terrence Crawford were supposed to fight. That was supposed to be Crawford's last fight, right? But where does he – I mean, do you think that fight gets made? I guess that's the long and short of it.
Figure it out, and they don't seem anywhere near close to figuring it out, and they got to do that. Same thing with Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman's starting to bark up a storm right now too. Keith, when's your next fight, bro?
Keith Thurman, does anybody want to see him fight? I mean, he's another guy that that's a good point.
A lot of false promises from this guy.
I bet you any money that's the next fight for Spence.
Keith Thurman?
Keith Thurman will be the next fight for Spence. That's what I think. Because who else is out there? I mean, really, like, who else is he going to fight? He's got to fight a big name because he wants to stay on pay-per-view. He's got to fight a big name, right?
He'll be the one guy that Spence hasn't fought over there at PBC.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's great. I mean, that's the big one is Keith Thurman.
That is bananas.
And I'll tell you what, if Bob Arum does not come through with a big fight for Crawford and he can't get Pacquiao and he can't get Porter, let me tell you what, Porter actually looks like he wants to fight Crawford. You know what I mean? He actually, I don't think Porter's scared of anybody. I think he'll fight anybody. As long as there's a title on the line, he's willing to fight. And I think he wants to fight him. But if they cannot make that fight, because that to me looks like on paper, not knowing a whole lot about the situation, looks like an easy fight to make. One guy says, yeah, I want it. The other guy says, yeah, I want it. Now, again, when they fax over the contracts and everything and one guy's getting more money than the other, you know, but I Terrence Crawford is clearly the A-side in that one. I don't think anybody can argue that he doesn't get more money. Does that fight get made? Do you think that fight gets made?
Crawford and Pacquiao?
Yeah. Crawford, either Crawford and Pacquiao or Crawford and Porter. Either one of those fights.
Crawford is the A-side maybe against Porter. I don't think Crawford's the A-side against Pacquiao, in my opinion.
No, I don't think he's the A-side against Pacquiao. Pacquiao brings up too much money.
I don't – like Porter can't wait too much longer because Porter's not going to want to wait till the summertime to fight. So I think it's very realistic to expect that Porter will fight Crawford next. I think it's a very doable fight.
I think it's a real doable fight, and it's a big money fight. That's a pay-per-view fight.
I think it's a pay-per-view fight. It's a fight that both guys, I think, would take in a heartbeat.
I think so, too.
And I think that the Spence – but here's another thing, too. Is like, if Spence is going to wait till the summertime to fight, then and he tries to make a Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
Pacquiao will be out of the ring like 2 years.
Right.
2 years. Like, and how does the WBA not strip Manny Pacquiao? How is that even possible?
Yeah, because they're the WBA. And they just keep making belts. They're like the WBC. They just keep making belts. All right, Tony, get to your point, and we're going to move on real quick. Tony, what do you got to say?
Hey, quickly. Man, I just want to touch on what you guys said.
Yes.
We got Dennis Ugas, we got Lipinez, we've got Sean Porter, we got Keith Thurman for Terrence Crawford if he needs an opponent. And the other thing I will say is that Terrence Crawford is going to be the B-side against Manny Pacquiao, and he will be the B-side against Errol Spence unless he gets the WBA super title from Manny Pacquiao, and then it's a 50-50 fight. If he beats Manny Pacquiao
and gets
the WBA super title, that's 50-50. But anybody who goes against Pacquiao is a B-side. Even Errol Spence is a B-side when it comes to Manny Pacquiao.
I agree with that, 100%.
I agree.
All right, thanks, Tony. We're going to get running here. That's a great point. That is a really good point. And first-time caller, Tony, man, I love it. Very good points, man. Very good points.
Yeah.
Quickly, we're going to try to wrap it up here. 916 from, I believe it was Florida, Jacksonville, maybe? 916, you're live.
That's Anthony, I think.
I'm from Sacramento. I'm going to say
Sacramento.
So anybody
knows
that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, anybody.
Who am I speaking to?
Pacquiao is definitely B-side. Oh, Rodney.
Rodney, okay.
Rodney, can you hear me?
Hi, Rodney.
Okay.
Yes. I can hear you, Rodney.
Anybody
that
goes against Pacquiao is obviously B-side. And whoever beats Pacquiao becomes the A-side in the negotiations between each other. So, to me, I don't feel like Crawford deserves anything less than 45% because Danny Garcia pretty much got 60-40 and his welterweight resume is all losses against top opponents. They both,
got a point.
Between Crawford and Errol Spence, only beat three world champions at welterweight. For Spence, it's Brooke, Porter, Garcia, and then for Crawford, it's Khan, Brooke, and
Horn,
who beat Pacquiao.
So they really
don't have much leverage other than Errol Spence has an extra belt. So it should just be 55-45 in favor for Errol Spence because Crawford does have undisputed resume of lightweight,
which people
don't factor in. But that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man. We appreciate it. We're going to try to get this last call quickly. 904, you're live. 904, you're live.
Yo, what's up? It's F. Merritt calling, checking in with y'all, man.
Hey, what's up,
you guys,
man?
Hear me?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we just want to say one thing that everybody's kind of forgetting about is Errol Spence has an IBF mandatory. Like, I think it's the winner of what was supposed to be a winner of – no, they had a draw on Showtime, but it was the – what's his name? The top-ranked guy couldn't get a visa or something over here to come over and fight on Showtime against Lipinets. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Lipinets, yeah. And the other guy. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, but at some point, that IBF has to be called in. So that's probably why Errol Spence, at the end of the fight, was like, oh, I just want to go and, you know, get some horses and you know, just want to sit with my family. He didn't want to call anybody out. He knows.
He
said
he could get some horses, yeah.
I want to go horseback riding.
The man got the Infinity Stones to turn into Thanos all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? He just wanted to sit back instead of calling out Terrence Crawford, who made that flight all the way over there. He was dripping jewelry, looked like he just signed a PBC deal, Bob let him out the deal, you know, he just wasted time, basically. You know, it's just funny to me. It's like everybody's calling for the fight, and you want to be old McDonald to go get some farms and chickens and stuff, and you don't even want to fight the dude. Come on, man. Somebody needs to put pressure on him. Somebody need to put pressure on Manny Pacquiao. Dude, make a decision who you going to fight or give up the belt, because you kind of holding up what we're trying to do over here. Real talk. And everybody needs to put pressure on Bob. Let Terrence Crawford out of his contract because you're not doing nothing with him. You got him fighting nobody, and they complain about not making money. How do you make money when you got him fighting trash? No disrespect to the fighters, but they're not high opposition fights. Like, you're wasting money. You paid Amir Khan $7 million, allegedly. You paid Kell Brook $2 million. You could have at least negotiated with Keith Thurman. You know what I'm saying? That's a bigger name than both of them put on his resume. They make it seem like those fights didn't even happen.
I don't think he won that fight, though, because he was asking for $10 million, man.
Yeah. Why isn't this guy calling every week? He's making some valid points here.
You got to negotiate. If I give you a price, then if I start at 10, okay, maybe I accept it at 7. Maybe accept it at 8. But bottom line, Keith Thurman is the biggest name on his resume. And that gives him – that's a former unified champion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now Keith Thurman, he's on the outside looking in. Errol Spence is going to have to fight his mandatory. The only other person on PBC for him to fight that's a big name is Keith Thurman. You say he doesn't want to fight Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman's going to have to go fight Ugas for the WBA regular, and that's still an okay fight. I'm cool with that fight.
That's not a bad fight. That ain't a bad fight, I tell you that.
Exactly. It's a good fight. But as far as how Errol Spence looked in the fight last night, he looked phenomenal. He's a complete fighter, and I'm a Keith Thurman fan. He looks like a complete fighter. What happened?
I'll say he looked really good. Yeah, I agree. I'm agreeing with you.
Really,
agreeing with you.
Absolutely. He didn't miss a beat. He was mixing it up. He was working the jab. Danny's face was swollen, and like one of the other callers said, He could hear the angel's voice like, something's wrong. He's never seen his son like this. He was trying to tell him what to do. He wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Danny, yeah, with that reach, I think he had a 3.5 wrench reach. You know, come on, man. He couldn't do nothing. He was trying to hit Earl with some bombs, but it didn't matter. And he's lucky Earl took those two rounds off towards the end.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it is. All right, man, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call. That's caller of the night right there. That's caller of the night, B, right?
Thanks for calling in, brother.
Yeah.
Good job.
Got to be caller of the night.